It's never been my habit or custom to ever, hardly ever in my ministry, to preach seasonal messages. In other words, messages corresponding with a nearby holiday period or season. It's never been my habit. But I have to confess this morning that the subject of giving thanks and thanksgiving has been on my mind this week. And thought about it several times and did quite a bit of reading in different places. But I believe if the Lord would be our helper this morning, I'd like to try to speak to you out of God's word this morning. And I'd like to that we share some scriptures together that speak about the subject of thanksgiving and to giving thanks back to the Lord. You know, I always feel like we're so quick and we're so ready to always turn to the Lord and pour out our every need and our every request. Every day, we're always praying that God would do this or do that for us, that He might remember us in this way, that He might help us in this way or that way. And that's good and proper, and I encourage you to continue doing that. But I sometimes feel, my conscience feels like sometimes I don't spend enough time going back and thanking God for hearing and answering all the prayers that He does. And as I stop and sometimes begin to take stock of what God has done in my life and in the lives of other Christians that I know, when I begin to take stock of that, the list begins to get very long in the ways that God has blessed and the ways that God has answered so many prayers in our life. If you remember a time in the history of the nation of Israel when King David was alive and reigning, there was a time when the Philistines had come upon Israel and they had taken the Ark of the Covenant. They had defeated Israel in a battle. They had taken the Ark of the Covenant and taken it back home with them. And of course, you Bible readers will remember that that did not work out very well for the Philistines. They tried to take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord God and they placed it in the house of their false god and their idolatrous god named Dagon, the fish god, and all kind of bad things happened. Dagon kept, the little statue of Dagon kept falling over, and eventually the hands and the feet and the head broke off of it, and they figured out in a hurry they needed to get rid of the Ark of the Covenant, that it was not a good thing for them to have, and so they sent it back to the Israelites. And it had stayed in the house of a man named Obed-Edom for some 20-something years, I believe, the scriptures, if you do the math and read about that subject. The Ark of the Covenant had been away from Jerusalem for at least 20 years. So I'm in 1 Chronicles this morning. If you want to open your Bibles and follow along with me, I want to read to you out of 1 Chronicles, and I'm in chapter 16. Now, this is the time when David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And it's been gone for a number of years. And so this is a great day, and this is a great occasion. And you might imagine that with the Ark of the Covenant, something that was so very important and central to the Jewish worship service, with it being gone, that just tells you right there that the Jews had not focused and put the emphasis on worship as they should have been. So this is a great time when this Ark of the Covenant, David is bringing it back to Jerusalem. And it says in verse 4, as David was bringing this Ark and going to place it there in the tent that he had provided for it, it said that David came and he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. And then it goes and names a number of them in verse 5, and it says they were before the Ark of the Covenant of God. And I want to begin reading in verse 7. It says that on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Now, you've probably seen or heard of the name Asaph before. Asaph was one of the chief musicians that served under David. He was one of the Levites there, and he was a music leader and a worship leader during David's time. And so, but it says that David delivered this psalm. This is a psalm that David wrote, a worship psalm, and David, apparently it's been on the subject of his mind, has been thanksgiving. And so David wrote this psalm and he gave it to Asaph, and probably to place it under music and that they would be singing this psalm. But read what it says, that David gave the psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And this is what it says, David's psalm that he wrote. It says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." Isn't that something that you and I ought to be anxious to do today, even in our day and age, whenever we would have opportunity, was to be able to make known the deeds of our Lord and the work of our Lord to one of our friends or someone whoever we might have an opportunity to share it with? Isn't that something that would be good for you and I to do, is to speak and to talk about the doings of our Lord? David thought that it was, and I submit to you this morning, I still feel that that is something good for God's children to do today whenever we have opportunity, is to speak of the greatness of our Lord and of his work and the things that he's done and he's accomplished for you and I. David wrote in the psalm, to give thanks that we should call upon his name and make his deeds known among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, and talk ye of all his wondrous works. You know, David recognized the great importance of singing hymns unto the Lord and singing psalms unto the Lord. It is so much a part of our worship service. God enjoys to hear your voices singing to him, lifted up in song unto him, praising him and adoring his great and his holy and his matchless name. God enjoys hearing your voices. That's why I've always tried to be such an encourager to God's people that we take our song service very seriously and that we realize and recognize that it is a part of our worship service. And I've always wanted to be a great encourager of God's people that they view it that way and that we always try to come and to arrive to church on time so we can start together when we start praising God in song. It's so important. God enjoys when you and I use our voices, our natural voices, to praise him in song. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. It's a way of worshiping God whenever we lift him up in song. I'll tell you, we have so many good hymns in our song books, and the words are so poignant, and they're so accurate and so true as we sing about salvation that God has brought for you and I. I'll tell you, I love our song service, and it's very much a part of worship. I hope that you always have considered it such and that you'll always look at it in that way. But David encourages his people, the Israelites here, to sing unto him and to sing psalms unto him. And, you know, another thing to remember, too, is we're not trying to sing to each other so much and to show off to each other. That's not the purpose of singing. We're singing to God. So always remember that. But David also says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. How great would it be if somehow our day-to-day conversation included more about the wondrous works of God that you and I could speak of, even with each other, with our family members, with our children, with our friends. How good would it be if we could always be having God upon our mind, and we could speak of his wondrous works. And you know, when you began to speak about God in that way, and you began to consider God and what all he's done for you and I in our lives, the list begins to grow long, doesn't it? I mean, we run out of time trying to speak about God. Once we begin speaking about God, every single Sunday we're here in the worship service and we come to the preaching portion of the service. And if God blesses a little bit at all and we're speaking about him or about his son, Jesus Christ, we run out of time. We just have to stop and cut it off because the subject is so endless. But David says we ought to be talking about his wondrous works. You know, that kind of reminded me of something that God commanded Moses to teach to the people many years before that. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, these are the words that God commanded Moses to share with the people. In verse 6, it says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." That's what God thinks of his word. God thinks so highly of his word that he commands his people that they think about his word day and night. When they lie down at night and when they rise up during the day, that they talk of God's words and of God's precepts and of his commandments. Teach them diligently to thy children. God says, my word is so important that you need to teach your children my word diligently. That means to work at it faithfully and without ceasing to teach my word to your family members. He says you ought to be talking about it as you sit and when you're walking and when you lie down and when you risest up. He says you ought to have them for a sign upon your head, and he says you ought to write them upon the post and the gates of your home. God's word is that important. I've always tried to be an encourager to God's people to spend time, make time, and set aside time in your life to read God's word. You know, our life and our world that we live in nowadays is so busy. It's amazing how the day goes by and is consumed with so many things. And I'll promise you this morning, if you do not have a time set aside in your day to read a portion of God's word, the day will go by and you won't get it read. You have to have something scheduled that gives priority to the reading of God's word, or it doesn't seem to happen. I know, because I've lived it out. I've experienced that, and that's just how it works. And so the best way to do it is to set aside a time every day. And a lot of people like to read in the very early portion of the day when they first get up. And I realized that there was so much going on in my life and so many days were starting to slip by me. It began to be more and more where I didn't read God's word at all because I was so busy, that I started getting up early, way before work, to have time to read uninterrupted, and that worked better than anything else. I mean, I had to go to bed a little bit earlier, but it worked better for me. So I encourage you to find a time in your life and in your schedule to set aside to help you to read God's word on a regular basis. It'll be very, very beneficial to all of us to do that. But David says we ought to be talking of his wondrous works. Furthermore, David says in verse 10, back in 1 Chronicles, that we should glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face continually. Are we seeking the Lord in our lives each and every day? Are we continually seeking the Lord's face? We should be. David says we ought to be seeking for him, seeking for his presence, seeking for the sweet communion with the Lord in our daily lives because we need him. And we ought to be, he says, glory in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We ought to be rejoicing people. Did you know this morning that even in a year such as we have experienced this year, one of the most, certainly the most challenging years that I've ever lived through with the pandemic and things that we have seen that no one has ever seen in our lifetimes before, we've had to see and to adjust and to learn how to live with them, and lives have been changed in so many ways. You could certainly say it's been a challenging year, but I believe that almost would be an understatement, don't you? It's been a very difficult year for many people. But could you not, if you will stop for just a moment, and if you will think about what God has done for you personally and for your families, could you not say that God has still blessed you all the way through this year? I think we can. In fact, I know we can. God has never left his people, and he promises that he never will. And so David is encouraging us to seek the Lord in his strength and to seek his face continually. I believe there's much benefit to a child of God to do that. All the way down in verse 23, David says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. I'll tell you one thing we ought to be talking about whenever we have an opportunity with folks is about the salvation that Jesus Christ has wrought in his perfect work on Calvary's cross. We ought to be willing and anxious to share with someone who's never heard the message about what Jesus Christ has done for us. You can't save someone now and put them into heaven by sharing that message with them. But I'll tell you, somebody who God has already adopted into his family and someone who God has already born of his spirit and has given them ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear, I'll tell you, words like that is like cold water to a thirsty soul. We ought to be willing whenever God opens a door just to share. You never know what kind of opportunities we have in life as we meet people from day to day and we go about our daily lives and our business of the day. You never know when you might share a word that has helped someone along life's difficult way. But David is encouraging us to show forth from day to day, his salvation. We ought to be talking about the salvation that God has brought us. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Can you say this morning in your heart that the Lord is great? I know that we can. You and I together, all of us together in unison this morning could declare that God is great, but he's also greatly to be praised. Not only does God enjoy praise, but he deserves praise. Somewhere in here it's going to say to give God the glory that's due unto his name. Glory is due unto God because he's glorious in all of the things he's done, all of his works. I'll tell you, you and I are privileged to have a God such as we have to be able to serve and to be able to pray and to be able to worship the God that we have, the God of all creation and the God of heaven. David says we ought to be magnifying him. We ought to be lifting his name up. We ought to be giving him the glory that's due to his name. He's a great Lord and he's greatly to be praised. I say amen, amen this morning. He is greatly to be praised, but he's also to be feared above all gods. I'm not talking about a terrifying fear that causes us to shake and to be terrified and to be scared out of our wits. I'm talking about a reverential fear. That's what David is speaking of. A reverential fear of God. knowing that he is austere and that he is the only true and living God and that there are no others. David says we ought to fear him in that way. I'll tell you this morning, friends, I suggest to you that you and I ought to have a fear in our hearts of offending our God by doing something wrong or something that's displeasing or dishonoring unto him. That's the type of fear I believe David's speaking of here. That we ought to have, we ought to respect God to such a degree that we ought to fear, have a fear in our hearts of doing something that is dishonoring or displeasing unto God. That's a reverential kind of fear that David is speaking of. It's not the fear that the world has of many things. It's a reverential fear of God. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. In verse 28, David says in his psalm, he says, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. That doesn't mean that you and I have glory and strength of our own that we can physically give to the Lord. That's not what David means. But when he says, give to the Lord glory and strength, that means for him to ascribe, or that means for us to ascribe or attribute unto the Lord glory and strength. It's his glory and his strength that we are attributing to him. He says, give it to him. Don't you want to do that, beloved, this morning? Don't you have a desire in your heart that everything we say and do might attribute and might ascribe glory and strength unto the great God that we serve? Do you have a thankful heart this morning? David said he wrote this psalm to give thanks. He wrote this psalm and he delivered it to Asaph to thank the Lord. I tell you, I trust and I hope and pray this morning that you and I are a thankful group of people. I feel like we're living among a nation nowadays that is the most unthankful people I've ever seen. There's so much taking place in our nation now that you very, very seldom ever see anyone even speaking about the subject of giving thanks. You know, even this holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, is to me, it's probably has been my favorite holiday of all the holidays of the year because it was not involved with a bunch of merchandising and it wasn't all about gift giving and buying of gifts and this, that, and the other. And funny traditions, it was about God's people taking time out from their busy lives to be thankful. To be thankful for the blessings of God. It's probably been my favorite holiday. But let me ask you this, do you even hear of anybody even speaking of it anymore? I'll tell you, as soon as Halloween's over, people want to go to Christmas because that's where all the money is. As you see, that's where the merchants make most of their money for the carry them along for the biggest part of the year. They make it during the Christmas season. How about being thankful? You know, the reason we don't hear about it anymore is most people are not thankful anymore. But I hope that you are. I hope that the Lord's people are still very thankful. David says that we ought to be. King David realized that he was thankful to the Lord for these many, many things that he's writing about. He says we ought to ascribe and attribute glory and strength unto the Lord. And he's, in verse 29, he says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Glory is due unto God. Now, who's going to give it to him if you and I don't? There's no one else in the world that will. It's up to you and I to give glory unto the Lord that's due unto his name. Do you believe in your heart this morning that glory is due unto the Lord? I hope you do, because it is. It says, bring an offering. Give the glory that's due to his name, and then bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, in David's day, they brought animal sacrifices. They would bring an offering, and it would be an animal to sacrifice. That was the type of worship service dispensation that they were in David's day. But what can you and I bring today? Does this even still apply? Can we bring a sacrifice and worship the Lord? Absolutely we can. Absolutely we can bring a sacrifice. We can present our bodies a living sacrifice before the Lord, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, Paul says in the Roman letter. I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, we don't bring lambs and turtle doves and calves and goats and things like that. We don't bring those animals anymore, but we bring ourselves to present to the Lord. And he says, come and bring an offering and come before him. I hope that you have the mind every Sunday morning or every worship day, whenever the church doors are open and we're meeting for worship, whatever day of the week that might be, I hope that you always come of the mindset that I am coming to present myself before the Lord, because that's what you're doing. You're coming to present yourself before the Lord. And there's so much that could be said about our current culture in which we live. Many things could be said about it, but one thing is for sure, we have come to a culture that is completely too casual and too relaxed in regards to worship. Many of the modern worship services today are focused around casualness. Have you noticed that? Focused about come as you are and just be casual, just be relaxed, just wear your flip-flops and so on and so forth. Let's get a cup of coffee and let's so on and so forth. There's nothing that I read in God's word that ever gives me a feeling of being casual and relaxed when I come to present myself before the God of the universe, our Creator God. As I said, we don't come in trembling and like scared that God's going to strike us down with a lightning bolt from heaven. That's not the kind of fear, but I'm talking about a reverential fear. I'm talking about coming to God's house with a respect for God, a respect that's missing, that's sadly missing in many places and in many common modern worship services. That respect for God and that awe is missing from the service. It's not casual and relaxed. Friends, you're coming to present yourselves before God. If you had an invitation to go and to go into the White House and to see the President of the United States, aren't you going to try to clean yourself up a little bit and try to present yourself in a halfway decent light? Well, sure you would. Everybody would. But how about when you come before the God of heaven? You know, I'm not saying it doesn't matter what clothes we wear. I'm just saying, wear your best. Whatever we have that's our best, put on our best. And it doesn't matter what it is, but just whatever your best is, let's put that on. Let's do the best we can as we come before God, because he's due. Glory is due unto his name. And we are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice before God. That's what we do. When we come to this place and we come to worship, you're presenting yourself before God. I'll tell you, David had it right. David knew what he was writing about here. He says, come before God, bring an offering, and he says, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Have you ever considered that holiness is beauty? It is to God. Holiness is beautiful to God. David says, come before God and present ourselves and worship him in the beauty of holiness. What is holiness? I guess it, It's beauty's in the eye of the beholder, so we're told. But I'll tell you, in the eyes of God, beauty is holiness. When his people try to make themselves set apart. Holiness, really, it just really means sanctified, set apart for a holy use, consecrated, dedicated, hallowed, or separate. It means separating ourselves from the commonness of the world around us, separating ourselves and presenting ourselves as something holy before the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus has made us kings and priests before God. And we need to, when we come into God's house, we need to consider that we're making ourselves sanctified. We are consecrating our lives and our bodies to come and bring it before God, that we might be holy before him to the best of our ability. And I'm not speaking of, not in any way trying to feel like we're better than someone else. That's not what David means. He just means trying to present, take what God has given us, our bodies and our lives and the resources we have, take whatever God's given us, all of these gifts from above, and using them to further the glory of God in the best way that we can. To acknowledge him, to respect him, to reverence him, to worship him in the very best way that we can. That's all David's saying. Worship God in the beauty of holiness. I'll tell you, I'm so thankful for our recent communion service. I believe all of you were here. I don't think we were missing anyone that night. But I'm thankful for that service because, in my opinion, Jesus showed up there in a way that I had never seen exactly like that before, with the stillness that came over this congregation during that worship service as we observed the bread and the wine. I had never seen that to that degree. You see, you never know when Jesus is going to show up and what he may do. You just can't ever tell. That's why I never want to miss. I never want to be like Thomas and miss an occasion when Jesus showed up. But I'll tell you, you know what that was that night? You remember how still it suddenly became, and we all became aware of how still it was that night? I mean, we were downtown Anger on a Saturday night. You could hear a pin drop. You know what it was? It was just us and the Lord. This world went away. It melted away for a few moments. But it was us and the Lord together in the upper room. You and I entered into the upper room with the Lord that night. I'll tell you, worshiping God in the beauty of holiness, that's what David's writing about. It's not casual, it's not relaxed, but it's presenting our bodies before God, a living sacrifice. Verse 34, David says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said, "Amen," and praised the Lord. David wrote that psalm. It's recorded there in 1 Chronicles 16. Psalms 95 is an anonymous psalm. We don't know who wrote Psalms 95. But it has words in it that say this: "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. It sounds like reverence to me. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Psalms 100 is another anonymous psalm, and it says this: Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. God enjoys when we come into his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him and bless his name. How about that? The psalmist says, enter into his gates, how? With thanksgiving. Come before God with thanksgiving. And come into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. I like that. Isn't that a good reminder and encouragement to you and I? That even in the face of uncertain times in our lives, that we should come before God and be thankful at all times? Come before him with thanksgiving? Why? He says in verse 5, he says, For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You know what the problem is today with a lot of people? As you remember over there in Luke chapter 17, do you remember there was an occasion where Jesus was making his way toward Jerusalem and he was passing through Samaria and Galilee, through those regions? And it said that as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. You know, the law was back then, if you had leprosy, you had to stand far away from somebody, just like you had the COVID today. Except it was worse. You had to say, unclean, unclean. As anybody approached you, you had to say, unclean, I have leprosy. 10 men appeared before Jesus that were lepers. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go and show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now listen at what happened. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. One of them. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. The Jews considered the Samaritans to be half-breeds. They really looked down upon them. But this man was a Samaritan. Jesus healed 10 men of leprosy. And one man out of the 10 stopped and he turned around and he fell to his knees, fell on his face at Jesus' feet and he gave thanks. You know what Jesus' response to that was? He says, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Friends, that's the question that I have for the world today. Where are the 9? Where are they at? I submit to you that most of the world around us that we live in and go in and out about are like these 9. They have forgotten all the things Jesus has done for them. They're so busy doing many other things, they do not have time to stop and to give thanks. Jesus says, "What weren't there 10 people that were cleansed? Where are the 9? Well, I don't blame him. I'd have been asking that as well. He says, "They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." You know what their problem was? They were unthankful. Those 9 people that were healed of that dreaded disease, leprosy, you know what they did? They started skipping along and they just went on their merry way. Is that not what much of the world is doing today? Skipping along on their merry way? Where's the next party we can go to? But one of the men turned around and fell down at Jesus' feet to give thanks. I hope you and I will always remember that one man that turned around. That lowly Samaritan that had enough of a heart about him and enough of a conscience to turn around and to thank the man that healed him. The only man that could have healed him of leprosy. There's a lot to be said about the subject of leprosy. And, you know, in the Bible, leprosy really represents sin. And many stories are of how leprosy is just representative of sin in general. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, there's a sense in which the Lord has cured you and I of leprosy. Something we couldn't cure ourselves of. You know where we are to be found a lot more often? At his feet giving thanks. We are to be thanksgiving people. I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving week. Many of our students are probably out of school for either several weeks or some of you for the remainder of the year. So I'm thankful for you, and I hope that you'll think about giving thanks this coming week along with all of us. May we always be an encouragement to each other to be thankful to our God because he's done so much for us. You know, we think about our country and we think about the struggles and the challenges that our country is enduring. But I want you to know, I was made to even think about something this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 29, do you remember when God allowed the children of Israel to go into Babylonian captivity for 70 years because of their disobedience? When you go over and read Jeremiah chapter 29, you can read some words over there where God says, even though you're being punished and you're going through the 70 years of captivity, he says, I'm still going to be with you. Because I know the thoughts that I think of you, and they're thoughts for your good. And God told them to go ahead and to build your houses there, and to marry and enjoy, and to plant your gardens, he said, and to enjoy your life. Even while you're in captivity, he says, I'll be with you. I'll help you through it. But he also told them to seek the peace of the city that you're in. For in doing so, that's where you'll find your peace. Did you know in the midst of this craziness in which we live in today, did you know you and I can still find peace? Because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's be thankful people. May God bless and keep you.